like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate His death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
God for another day. Amen. Amen. Because the Lord has been good to us. And He's brought us all from a mighty long ways. I thank you for your prayers that we make ready to go forth under the knife again. But I still say God is able. And perhaps when I get back, I might be able to do like Sister Crowell, run around the church. And amen. I just want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I just want to read the first part of that, although we'll be coming from the whole verse. Amen. 2 Chronicles, not Corinthians, Chronicles. Amen. In the Old Testament. Everybody got it, say amen. Amen. Everybody need a little more time, but hold on a minute. Amen. And it reads, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, you may be seated. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now thanking you for another preaching privilege. We ask now for the guidance and the fresh anointing of your Spirit as we preach your word. And then, Lord, we give you all the glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. And I just won't talk from the subject simply. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. So let me begin by saying that I believe you agree with me when I say that we are living in some trying and dangerous times. Times when racism is on the rise and in the open, especially against black people. For some reason, there seem to be open season on cops killing unarmed black men, women, and children. A time when the world has been devastated by a worldwide pandemic where millions of people have died. A time where we have witnessed with our own eyes an insurrection where folks stormed the Capitol and many police were injured and some folk were killed, all because of a big lie told by our former president that the election was stolen. And many Republicans, even to this day, almost 5 months after the attack on the Capitol, are still pushing this lie that the presidential race was stolen. And some even have the nerve to say that there was no attack on the Capitol. I heard a Georgia Republican say the other day that it was just a peaceful march, and not, in so many words, what our lying eyes saw and is still seeing on the news. They are pushing this lie to the extent that they've ousted one of their own, Liz Cheney, from a leadership role because she refused to stand for the lie that the presidential race was stolen. And to top it off, in many Republican-led states, they're trying to make it harder and harder for minorities to vote. Mass shootings is on the rise, as well as black-on-black crime. Israel is bombing the Palestinians. And my brothers and sisters, our world is in a mess. And all I can say concerning this mess that we're in, and that is, it's time to pray. That's my subject this morning as we make ready to observe the Lord's Supper a little later on. We note that the text says, if my people who are called by my name, amen, will humble themselves and pray. Because we are living in a divided America, but also in a great spiritual division among some white evangelicals who have chosen to endorse a lie and a lie rather than stand on the truth. My brothers and sisters, it's time to pray, because seducing spirits of demons have caused many of our brothers, the white evangelicals, to move from the Jesus of liberation to worldly power. And so it is time for every Christian, if you have erred and have been seduced by demon spirits, to repent and get back on track with the Jesus who stands for liberating the poor and lifting up the downtrodden. And for all Christians who have not been affected by these seducing spirits of demons, and your spiritual eyes of faith are still on the Jesus of Nazareth, it's time to pray. Note in the text who the Lord is calling on to pray. He's calling on his people. People who have an intimate relationship with him. If my people who are called by my name, meaning God is speaking to those who have identified themselves with him and his work. But ever in context of verse 14, it was given to Solomon at the dedication of the temple. For God had warned the people that their disobedience to his word and command would bring with it some dire consequences, according to verse 13, for their land. And so he set forth, Brother Jones, the conditions necessary to reverse this judgment on them and bring about revival and restoration in the land. And so since our world is in such a mess, I believe these words are directed to every born-again believer in Christ, telling us it's time to pray. But note first that there are four demands that must be met according to our text in verse 14. Although I must say meeting these four demands doesn't guarantee that automatic change will come, but it does create an atmosphere which becomes possible and far more likely. And so the first demand calls for preparation, which is humility. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves. Now, this word has the idea of being under another. And my brothers and sisters, the one thing God's people must do is remember that he is Lord. Because when we humble ourselves to the Lord, we are acknowledging his lordship as well as his headship. We are admitting our weakness and reaching out for his power. Because the Bible tells us in James 4:6, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And then he goes on to say in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, the second demand is a call to prayer. Now, this word means just what it says, pray. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. Now, prayer is in essence humility in action. Because the praying person sees his or her own inability and recognizes God's ability. And that is what causes people, God's people to come before him to seek the help that they need. However, I know to some praying may seem weak, but it will lead and yield far more fruit than the efforts demand. And that's why the Bible tells us again in James 5:16, the prayer of the righteous avails much. And therefore, as God's people, let us determine that we will pray in our homes, in our cars, at our jobs, in our prayer room, and at the altar. In other words, let us determine that we will take every moment of our lives as an opportunity to pray. As the Bible says in Philippians 4:16, in plain and simple terms, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your requests to God. Now, the third requirement is a call to passion or devotion. In other words, it requires seeking God's face. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now, the word seek means to desire something. The idea here is that we come to the place where God is the number one priority and desire of our heart. Meaning there's nothing in life more important, more precious, or more needful for us than having God and all that he has to offer, especially in times like these. And that's why I tell you it's time to pray. Because one of the problems with the modern church is that we have ceased to desire God. Because often we have many of our own pursuits in life and are so fragmented in our devotion that we have no place for a first place in our life. But my brothers and sisters, it's time for that attitude to die the death it has long deserved. It's time to pray that the people of God once again fall in love with God to the point that he become the focus and the driving force of all life. But now the fourth requirement is a call to purity, a call to repentance. Because the phrase, turn from your wicked ways, is self-explanatory, meaning God wants his people to stop sinning. And that's why we are to examine our lives and identify anything that does not please the Lord or line up with his word. And then we are to eliminate that from our lives. Now, I know it sounds hard, harder than it is, but you know, as we humble ourselves, pray and seek his face, our sins will become increasingly clear, and we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will be able to eliminate it from our lives. But however, I need to say that repentance is not basically a religious word, but it comes from a culture where people were essentially nomadic and lived in a world with no maps, with no street sign, making it easy to get lost while walking through the desert. Yeah. And so while walking through the desert, you become aware that the countryside seems a little strange. And then you finally say to yourself, I'm going in the wrong direction. That's the first act of repentance. And then the second act of repentance is to go in an alternate direction. And after all, repentance is the first step in getting right with God and having our prayers answered. And so if we will meet those requirements, then we create an atmosphere in which we can experience some tremendous spiritual rewards from the hand of God. Because first of all, God will hear our prayer. But I need to tell us that sin hinders our prayer. And that's why the psalmist tells us in Psalm 68 and 18, if I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But ever when sin is taken care of, then prayer can flow unhindered to and from the throne of God. My brothers and sisters, there is no more powerful force in the world than an unhindered prayer life. Why is this? Because it has the ear of God and is used by him to accomplish his will on earth. And my brothers and sisters, that's part of the Lord's prayer, or the model prayer, to say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And guess what? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But not only will he hear us, but but also God will help us because he promises to forgive our sins. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. Now this means that not only is prayer line restored, but it means that we can now be in closer fellowship with God. And my brothers and sisters, nothing is in this world compares with being able to have a close communion with God Almighty. The ability to come into his presence, to worship him, to sense his power, his peace, his joy, and his presence, I tell you, is priceless. And if we come before the Lord and deal with our sins God's way, he will respond in forgiveness and restoration. And that's why forgiveness, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And my brothers and sisters, again I say, it's time to pray. It's time to pray that God's power will touch this world in a tremendous way. It's time to pray that God would bring about a revival in our hearts, our churches, and he will create a spiritual dynamic that will impact our homes, our community, our schools, our neighbors, both black and white, our nation, and our world for the glory of God. Now, I don't know about you, but Brother Buckner, I'm tired of seeing what sin is doing to our homes, our churches, and our nation. And you know, I wonder, God, that his people of any color that belong to the Lord will get a real vision of what God could do for us if we meet his requirements and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. And not only will he forgive our sins, I tell you, but he will heal our land. And my brothers and sisters, I tell you, our land needs healing. Our hearts need healing. And so as I try and move to the close, remember now that this doesn't guarantee that revival and restoration will happen automatically in our world or our nation, but it does create an atmosphere in which it becomes possible and far more likely, because it can become a reality on a personal level. But the key word in this verse, Rev. Smith, is that two little word they call if, because everything hinges on us being in that place that God desires for us to abide in. And if we will meet his requirements on our end, we can be sure that God will move on his end, meaning revival and restoration will happen to us as individuals if. And so it's time to pray. But before we can pray, we have to make sure that we are God's people. And if you're not, you can become one of his people this morning. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes on the righteous, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so in closing, if we meet the requirements and if we are willing to come before him, humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways, I believe God will hear our prayer, and we'll begin to see revival begin to take place. It will take place in our house, the church house, the White House, and in our world. I tell you, it's time to pray, because prayer, yes, Lord, channels have been wide open ever since Jesus hung, bled, and died for the sins of the world. And bright early Sunday morning, he got up from that grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. And after showing himself alive some 40 days, then he caught a cloud and he went back to glory. But he promised he was coming back again. But in the meantime, until he comes, it's time to pray. Pray for your family. Pray for our children. Pray for our neighbors. Pray for our government officials and our brothers who have been seduced by demon spirits of devils. My brothers and sisters, I tell you, it's time to pray. It's time for us to go before the Lord in prayer. If you belong to the Lord, you ought to hear his word. You ought to heed to his call. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he lift you up when you fall down? Ain't God all right? I know the Lord, he's able, because all power in heaven and earth is in his hands. Oh, Lord, I'm calling on the Lord to move in our world, to move in the White House, to move in the church. Yes, Lord. It's time. I say it's time. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. The sincere prayer of the righteous availeth much. And oh, when the Lord restores you, when you walk into this power, everything you touch will be changed. Hey, God, all right? I'm getting a little happy here, but I'm going to have to sit down because God been good to me. And he brought me from a mighty long ways. Yes, he has. Yes, Lord. It's time to pray. Come on.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Just say it again. The race.
The race. Yes, I can. To swift or to slow. To one guiding through. Until we meet. Someone's in the place. In the race. Steps align. Get ready to run. On your mark. Get ready. Get set. Let's go.
Come on. I dare you to lift your head up. Chest out, because you're more than a conqueror. To the swift, but to the one, until the end. Come on, worship. I don't think they heard you say
it.
To the swift,
but
to the one.
Your head
up, come on.